for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is February 25th, year 2000, and it is the first service of the Ladies' Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Linda Sutter Olson is from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and is the speaker for this evening. This is already in progress.
Has been ministering here for many long years, and what I like about her, when she was living here, we'd come in here in the evenings and just come and sit on the floor up there and sing and praise the Lord. Oh, a presence of the Lord would come as we'd sit and sing and pray. And she'd come up with some songs that, I don't know where she had, keep them all, but songs that all the oldies that the anointing and the blessing of the Lord rest on. And bless. In fact, we got a tape around here somewhere that we made one night, haven't we? Just sitting here on the floor. But I appreciate Linda and the ministry that the Lord's given her. And I'm sure that those of you who don't know her will be greatly blessed by her ministry. Linda, she's here. She's got quite a bit. She's going to sing some more songs that some of you haven't heard. She just will get ready for that. She knows what I'm talking about. But tonight, we're going to let her close the service out this evening.
Been waiting for you to get here, ladies. Friends of mine from 25 years ago that I'm just real thrilled to have them here tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, and I was really asking the Lord what it was that He would have me minister tonight. You know, when you've got all kinds of sermons that you can give, and you can, you know, just kind of pick one out of the hat if you want to. I'm not sure that that's necessarily what the Lord wants. And so I said, well, Lord, what can I minister that will be a benefit, be a blessing to these ladies, and what will benefit all of us the most and get us on the right track for the whole weekend? Amen? And He began to, I was just laying there in the bed, and He began to speak to me, and He began to speak to me about ministering on forgiveness, our ability to forgive. And I happened to pick up my Christianity Today that I had brought with me, and I was leafing through it. And it talks about the forgiveness factor, and that's what I'm calling this tonight, the forgiveness factor, because forgiveness is the key, is the beginning to any deliverance that you could ever want or hope to get. You can't get deliverance without forgiveness. You hear that? Now, it's very obvious in the book of Matthew. We can turn there to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is giving teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And He tells them, they said, well, Lord, how should we pray? And He said, and he says, well, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven, past tense, have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Amen. But you know, it goes on. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's also that promise. We would much rather emphasize the other aspect of it than the fact that God wouldn't forgive our sins. And you know, as I share some things with you tonight, I believe we'll begin to see how absolutely imperative it is that we forgive. And I'll tell you what, every single one of us have been sinned against. Amen? Every one of us has had something that's happened to you, either by a spouse or a child or an ex-spouse or a mother-in-law or a stepmother, you know, whatever. Someone who has sinned against you, and you have to forgive them. It's not an option. You don't have a choice in this. If you want forgiveness, if you want to be forgiven, and if you want to be delivered, you have to forgive. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there was a lady that was talking to me one day, and she was saying how she had a grievance against somebody else, and this was a person who had been very supportive of my ministry, and she was, you know, talking to me about how she couldn't forgive this person. And she wasn't going to forgive her. And then she sat back and she looked at me and she said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Well," I says, "I hope I see you in heaven." And she looked at me and she said, "God wouldn't do that to me, would he?" And I says, "You know, what I think has absolutely nothing to do with it. You hear me? What I think has nothing to do with it. What does the Word say?" And so I shared with her the Word that says, if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It is a thing that keeps the world running. I began to read this article, and I'm not going to read a lot of it, but I just want to mention that this man who's at the a professor at the University of Wisconsin, which is noted as being one of the most liberal universities in the United States, he began to, one day, and I believe he was directed by the Holy Spirit, to look up what psychologists were saying about forgiveness. Went to the library, checked, and he found that there wasn't anything that the psychologists were saying about forgiveness and about the necessity of forgiveness. So he went and he thought, well, this is just absolutely mind-boggling. And so he applied for some grants to study the benefits of forgiveness. And they just ignored him at first. You know, for a number of years, 10 years, they just ignored him. They laughed at him. And he just kept on applying for grants. Well, all of a sudden, one day, somebody noticed. And so in 1998, the John Templeton Foundation awarded him a research grant for the study of forgiveness, and not only to him, but to 29 other scholars. Released $10 million to discuss and to study the benefit of what we already know and what it would do and about the personal benefits of forgiveness. And it says, I want to read this, it not only heightens the potential for reconciliation, but also releases the offender from prolonged anger, rage, and stress that has been linked to psychological problems and cardiovascular diseases, high blood pressure, hypertension, cancer, and other psychosomatic illnesses. Now, we know that. I don't know if there's still a book back on the book table that says about none of these diseases that was published back in the 50s, and this doctor said essentially the same thing, that the reason we have disease is because we may be holding unforgiveness in our hearts. And he says, just look at that word dis-ease. Your body is at dis-ease. Amen? And so, they've had a lot of, quite a time studying this and finding all of these things that, most of us, know or have known at one time in our life. That, you know, if, have you ever been around a bitter person? Isn't it the pits? You know, all they do is just exude bitterness. So when they talk, they just exude bitterness. You know, a while back, the first year I was married, it was a little, I had a few difficulties. I don't know if any of the rest of you did, but I did have a few difficulties. And I was finding out that my husband's campaign promises and what was reality were just not the same. Amen? Amen, ladies? All right. I told him this. And one day he came to me and I was angry, and I was angry all the time because I realized what he said and the reality, just they didn't even come close, you know. I thought he deceived me, you know. And I was letting that thing fester in me and fester. And you know, I've noticed sometimes that when somebody gets angry and they begin to spout off, they're not really angry about what the situation is. They're carrying anger and bitterness and rage about an entirely different subject, entirely different matter. I don't know if you read the joke or not, and I can't tell the whole thing, but this man asked a group of women and a group of men if a computer should be called in the feminine or in the masculine, and they were supposed to give several reasons why they felt this way, that a computer should be referred to as she or as he. And the women all decided that the computer should be referred to as he, and all the men decided that the computer should be referred to as she. And one of the reasons that the men gave that the women should that it should be called a she is because of the computer's ability to store up data to be retrieved at a later time. Amen? That you can use. Now, isn't that the truth? Don't we do that? I mean, we don't get hysterical, we get historical. And so I'm not going to tell you all the other reasons they thought it should be called a she, and why the women why the women thought they should refer to it as a he. But I might send it down on the email one day, Phil, if I can find it. But that's the one that I remember the most, and I thought, yes, that's really it. And so one day when I was having one of my hissy fits, my husband came to me, and he says, you come in here and sit down. I'm going to have a talk with you. And, you know, he didn't usually talk to me that way, and so I went in and sat down. He says, now, he says, I love you, and he says, you're a good wife. He says, but you complain all the time. And he said, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. And you know, you don't want to take the truth sometimes. And I sat there and I could feel my back stiffening up, and but then I listened to him, because he just usually didn't say very much to me, and I thought, he's right. I've been complaining all the time. And it's because of this factor that I have retrieved from back here, to call up right now. I'm not talking about it, but I've retrieved it in my memory, and that's the thing I'm angry about. And you know, when you meet my husband, he's just a sweetheart. I mean, he really is. He's a darling, as long as he does what I tell him. No, I'm just teasing. But when he said that to me, I thanked God that he would finally sit me down. And it was like the heavens opened, and I began to see what I was doing, not only to him, but doing to myself and doing to other people. And I got embarrassed, and I had to get on the phone and call all kinds of people and apologize. And I had to, you know, ask the Lord's forgiveness. You know, I just saw all of the stuff that was coming out of my mouth, and it was not pleasing one bit to the Lord. And when I repented and when I forgave my husband and you know, we ladies have done it too. You know, you always put your best foot forward during a courtship time. Amen? Always put your best foot forward. And so we all have things in that regard to repent of. But when I could repent and forgive him, I'll tell you what, some things just don't make any difference. They just aren't worth fighting about. It's not going to matter in the long run. It just isn't worth it. I just had to accept the fact that my husband's a redneck and he loves to go fishing, and that's, you know, during certain times of the year, that's the whole thing that's on his mind, and his sons are that way and his grandsons are that way, and, you know, they talk deer hunting you know, spend money and on all these things. And hey, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? We got a freezer full of venison. you know? What difference does it make? And I'm not going to tell you all his sins. I got plenty of my own that I could talk about, or things that we disagree about. It just doesn't matter. 100 years from now, it is not going to make a bit of difference. Hallelujah. Amen. And when he said that, I said, honey, I says, you are right. And from this moment on, I am not going to complain. By the grace of God, by the help of God, only by the help of God, things changed at that moment. I'll tell you what, we've been on a honeymoon ever since. It's only 5 years, but people say we look like we've been married for 25 years. Is that right? You know, we just kind of, she knows they've been up at our house, and we just kind of fit together. But it took making a choice, making a simple choice. And ladies, I want to encourage you tonight. I've been there. I've done that. And I can encourage you that you can do the same thing. Amen. It doesn't have to be with a spouse. You know, it can be with somebody else. There can be problems that have developed with somebody else, and the chasm gets wider and wider and wider. And, you know, why not reconcile? It's so important to God that you do. God said, if you don't forgive men who have sinned against you, He's not going to forgive your sins. You know, there's a lady, let me just give you an example of how powerful forgiveness is, what it can do. When I was living in Switzerland, there was a lady from, she was a Buddhist, she was from Malaysia. And she was laying up in the hospital in Zurich, dying. She'd had all kinds of physical problems. She had become, I believe she had become a Christian. Yes, she had become a Christian, but she was dying, and all kinds of things happened, and God healed her, and God healed her again, and then something else happened, and her liver burst, and her husband was coming from another country to be with her, and I got a call from her sister and says, please, can you go to the hospital and pray for my sister? She's dying. And so we went up to the hospital. I took another lady with me, and we went into the intensive care unit, and there she sat, hooked up to all kinds of monitors, waiting for her husband to come, and she was going to die. It could be any minute. We walked in there, and I'll tell you what, we felt the power of death in that place. It was strong. And she didn't speak English. Her sister had to interpret and speak to her. And so I said, listen, honey, I said, the first thing that God wants you to do is to forgive those that have sinned against you. She was from a family of 13 children, and I didn't know anything about her background. But again, she said to me through her sister who was interpreting, she says, oh, she says, my family, we've been fighting and for years. I says, you've got to forgive them. You've got to. And so she says, oh, I forgive them. I forgive them. I don't care. She says, I forgive them. And saying that in Chinese. And so we took hands, and we began to take authority over the spirit of death. Now, I want to tell you, if we were going to trust our feelings, we would have thought nothing had happened. But we were in that room less than 5 minutes. The power of death was so strong, the lady I had taken with to help me, she started to faint. And I was starting to feel faint myself, and I began to rebuke the power of death. This other Chinese, her sister, she spoke it in Chinese. The Chinese lady that was sitting there sick, she spoke it. She rebuked the power of death. She rebuked the spirits of darkness. And we went back and forth like that for 5 minutes, forgiving her family, rebuking the powers of death. And then I laid hands on her, and I prayed healing for her. And you know what happened? God healed her instantly. Amen. Healed her instantly. Her kidneys had shut down. Her liver had burst. And we walked out of there, and we didn't know what had happened. We got out on the sidewalk outside, and I just laid hands on my head and began rebuking the powers of darkness and commanding life to come back into me. When I got home, the telephone was ringing. This girl's sister, a young woman, she was only 28 years old, her sister called and said, my sister's been healed. She's been healed. Hallelujah. The doctors came in, they wanted to keep her in the hospital a few more days to observe her, to see what had happened to her. She had an instantaneous deliverance because, first of all, in the very beginning, that's why when we pray and why when we have deliverance services, we pray and we say, you got to forgive. That's step one. Step one. And so she was healed. She went back to Malaysia. And I have a clock on the wall that she sent to me that she had crocheted. And, just beautiful. And it's a memory of what she, of her gratitude to me. And I heard from her other sister at Christmas time, you know, when the Lord is on your side, you may feel like a puny nobody. But I'll tell you what, greater is he, the scripture says, than he that is in you, than he that is in the world. You know, there's not any power of darkness that can stand against us. Amen. That sounds awfully simple, doesn't it? But that's the truth. I like this scripture we have up here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I had an uncle that is with the Lord now, and when he was a kid, my grandfather was very mean. I don't think he meant to be mean. He was stern. That might be a better word. He was a stern taskmaster, had 8 children. And he loved the Lord, but he was stern. He had been brought up to believe that, you know, you whip the kids and to keep them in line. And so that's what he did with my 6 uncles and my mother and her sister. He was a stern taskmaster. And the result of it was that these kids grew up, the oldest ones particularly, with a real resentment in their heart towards their father, my Uncle Ed. If you knew him, Hazel?
He told me one time that he had dreams about my grandfather, and this is years after my grandfather died. And in the dreams that he had, he would be fighting with his father. You know, isn't that kind of sad? You know, he was hounded by that. Here he was in his 70s, and he was dreaming of the conflict he had had with his father when he was a young man.
Praise the Lord. Now, my uncle got sick, and he was a church man, but, you know, he didn't really know the Lord. And a friend of mine, a Baptist fellow, Brother Merle Smith, these ladies are from up in that area of the country, so they know who I'm talking about, a farmer, the Lord spoke to him one day and says, you go see Ed Hope, and you lead him to God. And so that's just exactly what he did. He went to see my uncle, and he led him to the Lord. 2 days later, my uncle died. 2 days later. It's so essential that we learn forgiveness. I don't want to go out and to meet God with any unforgiveness in my heart. I don't want to do it. It's a dangerous thing to do. There's another example I want to give you of a lady. And I think I've given the example here before. It's a true story. Lived up in Kansas, and she was dying of cancer. And her husband, as a gesture, bought her a car and put it in her name. And she was thrilled with this car when she first got it. And all of a sudden, she realized that he had put insurance on that car and that when she died, he was going to have title to that car free and clear. And that just really got her. And she could not forgive her husband for doing that. And she held that against him all through her sickness. And, you know, he loved her, and I'm not going to judge him on why he did what he did. But I'll tell you what, until 5 minutes before she died, she could not forgive her husband. 5 minutes before she died, she turned to him and said, I forgive you, honey. And in just that few minutes, God took her. It is so important that when we go to meet the Lord, there's nothing on our slate between anybody, between us and anybody else. It's not, like I said before, forgiveness is not an option. Write it in your Bible. Write it in the front of your Bible. Forgiveness is not an option. It's a mandate. Hallelujah. I've got something here that I've written down some time ago. It says repentance is a lifestyle. Amen. It's just something, you know, you do it. You learn to do it. And it may not be, you're not necessarily going to feel the effects of it, but I'll tell you what, you can receive the benefits of it. You may not feel any different after you've forgiven somebody, but you can reap the wonderful benefits of joy, peace in the Holy Ghost after you have released that person. Amen? That person you may be carrying a grievance against may be dead. They may be ruling you from their grave. You've got to forgive them. You have got to forgive them. I mean, I'm repeating myself, but it is so important for us to get this. You know, it was the Apostle Peter that said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother?" Peter, the brash fisherman. Matthew 18, he said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive him? Should I forgive him seven times?" And Jesus said, "You forgive him 70 times seven. That's 490 times. Do you think that's what Jesus meant? 490 times in a day, I told somebody one time. If a person sins against you, 490 times in a day. Yeah, that's the way we live with one another. And you know what? I'll tell you, when I was a single person, I just didn't have anything to overcome. I mean, I didn't. You wives, is that an amen, Debbie? You know, I was just, hey, I don't deserve this. I'm out of here. And I could just float on somewhere else and never have to deal with some very basic issues that God wanted me to deal with. Amen. And somehow I knew that. Somehow I knew that when I got married, that was going to change. I just had a hunch that it just wasn't going to be the same. But I'll tell you what, I'm happier now than I was 5 years ago. There's been some things that the Lord has shown me in my life, and I couldn't have seen it. You probably all saw it, but I couldn't see it. But it took in a living and walking in a day-to-day relationship with somebody else that brought these things to the surface. You know, there's another scripture I would like to mention. It was David that said this over in the book of Psalms. He said, you know, it wasn't an enemy that reproached me. It wasn't an enemy that reproached me, but it was a man, my equal. We had sweet fellowship together and walked into the house of God in company. Now that's the one that is sometimes hard to take. I learned one thing, blood is thicker than water. It's much easier to forgive your own kin. Amen? It's much easier to forgive someone that you gave birth to. Much easier. I found that. I learned that. I observed that. And I just couldn't get over how people could forgive, you know, each other in the family. And we're just going to go on from here. But to forgive people in the body of Christ who have offended us, that's hard. That's difficult. That's really where the rubber hits the road. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." Amen? You know, there's a scripture that we used to sing. Ye are dead. Ye are dead. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And it goes on. I can't remember the rest of it. But you know, a dead person can't be offended. Amen? If we're dead, our life is hid with Christ in God. You can say anything about me that you want. And I might be offended for a minute, but if I'm dead, it doesn't matter. Amen, Mildred? If I'm dead, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not even going to quiver if you say something about me and I'm dead. I beg your pardon? That's right. Not if you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I'm going to ask you, ladies, and you brothers too, that are here, have you forgiven? Now listen, I don't want us to be religious. I don't want us to be religious. I want you to be honest. Let the pride go. I noticed something when I used to come to camp meeting here, and I was probably the same way too. I mean, I was the ministry, you know. And you come in and you sit down and you have a way and you know, it's stinking religious pride is what it is. But you don't want anybody to see the demons that are indwelling you, though it may be apparent to everybody else, but you don't want anybody to see. So you sit there and you act real holy and you know when to raise your hands, you know, yeah, Jesus, you know, and all this. We're not going to do that here. You know, let's just get rid of all the pretenses, all the pride. And I tell you what, God's going to get you anyway. He's going to get you. But I want to ask you, have you forgiven? Have you truly forgiven? What does it mean when, you know, you walk hand in hand into the house of God with someone in company? What does that mean when you forgive them? You're going to go back and join hands with them again and walk into the house of God in company with them? Will you be able to do it? Amen. I'm going to ask us. This isn't a long sermon. I don't preach long sermons. My husband tells me if I preach more than 20 minutes, I preach too long. And I've preached more than 20 minutes. But I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to ask the Lord. Get it off your chest. It's a thing that will keep you from getting any more deliverance this weekend. And I want you to say in your heart and to say it with your lips, I forgive you. Name the name. And I know what's going to happen here. I know that a name is going to pop into your mind that you haven't really forgiven someone. Let it go. We're not going to be in a hurry. I think ladies are ones that are hurt much more easily in their feelings because we're very emotional. A child has sinned against you. A husband has sinned against you. Just forgive them. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? What did he say when they were pounding the nails into his hand? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What did Stephen say when he was being stoned to death? And in his dying breath, he says, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. Don't lay this sin to their charge. How can we have such a great example? Jesus is our pattern. If he had that kind of an attitude, we have to have that kind of an attitude. And if you don't think you can do it, you call upon all the resources of God to make it possible for you to forgive. You can do it by the sheer exercise of your will. I will forgive. I will forgive. I want you to take a deep breath. Let it all go. We're going to pray a prayer together. I want you to pray after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your blood that cleanses me from all my sin. And I ask you to forgive. And you name the one. You whisper it for how they have sinned against me. I forgive them, Lord. And you just in your mind, in your prayer to the Lord, just rehearse the whole thing. Just whatever was done, just say, forgive them. Forgive them. Phil, if you'd come to the piano. Freedom is the most wonderful thing to feel. And the sense of freedom can come in a number of different ways. My background was difficult. Your background may have been difficult. I don't care. We've all got a background. We've all got a past. We've all got things that the enemy has done to keep you from even being here tonight. I had a mother who was mentally ill. And it made for a lot of difficulty in our family, and each one of us children have suffered in our own way. And I never, can't say I doubted her love, but there was great, great potential for just all kinds of feelings. And just recently, my sister came to visit, and, you know, I just kind of carried this guilt all these years that I was such a wretched kid, because my mother told me I was. And my sister said to me, she says, Linda, you weren't a bad kid. You didn't do anything. And I said, you know, you're right. I didn't really do anything that the average kid wouldn't do. You know, I didn't get into trouble. And by her saying that to me, it just brought great release to me. And I thought, hey, she's right. I wasn't a bad kid. You know, I just lifted my hands and began to thank Jesus. And I called her on the phone. I says, thank you, Lana, for saying those liberating words to me, that I wasn't a bad kid. And you know, when we can forgive somebody, it can have that kind of liberating effect on their life. Amen? There's a song that we sing, I'm free from the cares of tomorrow. You'll learn it in the key of F, I think. Mm-hmm. E-flat. Mm-hmm. I'm free from the cares of tomorrow. I am free from the guilt of the past. I have traded my shackles for a glorious song. I am free, praise the Lord, free at last. Let's stand and sing it. I am free from the cares of tomorrow, free from the guilt of the past. I am free from the guilt of the past. I have traded my shackles for a glorious song. I am free, praise the Lord, free at last. Oh, sing it again. Oh, I'm free from the cares of tomorrow, free from the guilt of the past, from the guilt of the past. I have traded my shackles for declare it. I am free from the cares of tomorrow. I am free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have traded my shackles for a glorious song. Let's all sing it once more. Scripture says in John chapter 15, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Does some of you feel cleansed tonight by the word? Cleansed by the word, washed by the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, maybe some of you needed special prayer. But I'll tell you what. There's ministry available to you here. But God can set you free when you decide, when you make that decision that, yes, I will forgive. Yes, I will forgive. Can you say that? Yes, I will forgive. Amen. Let's sing it again. I'm free from the cares of tomorrow. Go ahead. I'm free. from the cares of tomorrow. I am free from the guilt of hallelujah. Oh, I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I am free, praise the Lord, free at last. Oh, sing it again. I am free. Just begin to worship the Lord, ladies. Just begin to worship Him. Oh, sing to Him. He loves you. He loves you. Glory, 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 glory. He la 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 mori hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Uramandara bakuya selebala barandara babararamorondo. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Itundara bala bobon serebara randara boriorondra barandara babarando. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, Mildred, I believe God's given me a word for you. And I believe He's saying that He's going to bring a reconciliation in your family that you've prayed about for a long time. I don't know anything about it, but I know that God says you to hold on, for that day of reconciliation is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Itarabarorum darababa shalabarandaraba. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lord. Iriaborondo. Rimalamon ribaba sharabarandaraba. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, He reigns. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty,
rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory unto thee. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty. All ye people, give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Oh, hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Let the mercies of God sweep over you right now. Let the forgiveness of the Lord sweep over you. Amen. Oh, let His forgiveness just enfold you. Amen. Oh, He's so wonderful. Oh, oh Lord, your beauty, oh, your face is all I see, and when your eyes are on many needs. Oh God, I pray, meet every need, meet every desire, every godly desire that is in their hearts tonight. We thank you for forgiveness that is flowing among us. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you for reconciliation. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for reestablishing of your foundations in our lives. In the name of Jesus. And I pray tonight as each one goes to their own bed, that Lord, you will just speak to them in the night watches. Speak to them in the night hours. Show them, Lord, the things that you desire to show them. Show them what they have need of, what you want for them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, give each one good sleep.
In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.